welcome Joel, our very live, live guinea pig. On, you got some dapper shoes on there, man. You took it up a notch from last night. Yeah, that's very good. You did this. How many weeks ago when you did you do this?
It was actually the last week of our last session, so the sex series. So it's been about a month.
What I'm at, pulling up just a little bit here. So you had it a month ago.
Right.
And so, because we had needed time to edit it and all that kind of stuff, and actually see if it was a worthwhile experiment for Joel, because if it wasn't worthwhile, we wouldn't have done it for the whole church. And so you're the old pro. You've been through this now. Many of us are going to end our fast right before the Bengals game, which will be me, and I'll be trying to find a television with Ariel in between the two tours I'm doing this afternoon. But what kind of things did you learn in the midst of your media fast?
Well, one of the things I was really thought was interesting is I actually got a lot more out of it after I was done than I got the whole time going along. The whole time going along, I thought, yeah, this is, you know, sort of useful, but I didn't see a lot of improvement in my day-to-day life. And then after I got done, kind of thinking I would run immediately back towards the radio and the TV and think that the stuff that I had been watching before and listening to before would, you know, be just as interesting. And when I turned it back on, I found it kind of lost some of its luster and I couldn't pay attention and I wasn't as focused on that as I had been before.
Have you found that when you came back into, when you kind of re-entered, because you've re-entered, maybe, I'm hoping we can learn a little bit more from you. Did you find that you were overwhelmed by some of the stimuli that's in our culture?
Yeah, I definitely. That was one of the huge learning points I had. Actually, it was about midway through my week-long fast, and I came to the next level service. And usually when I come in, I kind of, you know, tune things out. I might get the program and leaf through and see what's going on. I make out my offering, you know, just and go from there. And I tune out a lot of the stuff going on up here. And I think part of the reason I do that is because I always have so much stuff coming at me, all different background noise, just stuff going on, that I think I've become accustomed to tuning things out. And I realized, oh my gosh, I've been tuning out half of our worship, you know, every
So the songs, just another song of many that you hear, and that's all it is.
Right, and I had turned it out, not listened to the lyrics and what, you know, what the message was trying to come across.
I've been struck by just the... I never noticed how many people are trying to get my attention until this last week. I went in yesterday. Mariah and I did a daddy-daughter breakfast date, so we went out to breakfast this place. And I've seen these all the time. It never bothered me. But just the overkill of four televisions in one room, four televisions all trying to get my attention, and not just four different programs, but eight, because they got the scroll ticker tape thing in the bottom, and they got the pop-up thing that comes up, so you got simultaneously sometimes 16 different messages all vying for my attention. And then I wonder why it's so hard for God to get my attention. Did you find any impact on this with your spiritual life, relationship with God?
Well, I did. I'm somewhere between, I'd say, a seeker and an active Christ follower. I'm kind of still in that journey. I believe in God. I want to make Him important in my life. I'm not sure how all the pieces fit together for me. But I actually found that I'm getting more out of my spiritual relationship because I've blocked out this time. I haven't been listening to the radio as much on the way to work, maybe every other day. But I've been blocking out that time to kind of pray and reflect. And I think by blocking that time out, I'm actually getting way more out of it because the method I was using before was whatever time I have left over, you know, that's when I'll reflect or that's when I'll pray. And by actually setting that time aside in the morning when everything's calm and quiet, I found it's much easier to invite God in and to reflect. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there any just last bit of counsel you'd have for us since you've been where we are as we reemerge? And if not, you can say no. I ask him different questions every single time. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. I said, no, Joel.
A little bit.
Yeah, any counsel for us?
I would just say, you know, it's something I think is healthy to do once in a while. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to say I'm becoming Amish and I'm never going to watch television again. But I think it's healthy and it's something I'm going to try, you know, maybe once or twice a year to cut it back and just, you know, kind of almost like a diet. You know, do a couple of weeks where you bring things back in control and then, you know, reflect more. So,
hey, let's thank Joel for being on stage and also sticking a video camera in your face every day. That's awesome.
Thanks, thank you.
All right. Just pray before we do anything else, okay? God, thank you for Joel's courage. I just think about what it must have been for him to get a call from somebody and say, hey, try going without any media for a week. And for him to have not heard that concept before and to actually do it and to stick a camera in his private spaces and to then come up on stage and talk about where he is. Thank you for that courage. And I thank you for the courage that many of us also have had in trying to learn and grow. And I pray that today that you would take us to new places as a result of having room to breathe. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Media is a very interesting thing. I found that the media really works on scare tactics to try to get me to buy it and tune into it. I just scanned this one cover of a magazine I haven't read yet because I've been abstaining from these things. But you see this cover on Newsweek? The bird flu! The race to prevent a global epidemic. How to protect yourself. It's kind of like you're going, oh no, if I don't read this, I'm going to die. You know, everything is... Newsweek doesn't care about me. They don't care. All they care about is they scare me into buying the thing so that they can sell more advertising dollars to Reichardt. That's really all they care about. The whole media really just kind of clicked for me this week that nobody in the media is really looking out for my health. Nobody in the media really cares about my formation. They care about getting my attention to buy their... And I know I've always known this thing. I mean, it's like, duh, you're just figuring that out now, Brian? Well, yeah, but I haven't really... totally owned it or seen the matrix of conspiracy to keep me from God. That's kind of how I'm looking at this. I'm just feeling I've had so much clutter in my mind that I haven't seen things that are of importance and things of value. Someone asked me last week, said, hey, did you ask us to go on the media fast so that we wouldn't read that article in the Inquirer last week? Is that why you... No, but that's not a bad idea, you know. Especially if I had known they were going to talk about me and masturbation in the first paragraph, I would have said, never again read the Inquirer. Never, ever, ever. Yeah, what'd you say? TMI. I don't know what that is, but TMI. Too much information. The Inquirer did give too much information. That's right. Now, here's my thing. I got a bit of a challenge today. When I go at giving a message, especially the last week of any series, we say, all right, we're going to finish this whole series up. What kind of grass catcher items can we pull in? What needs to be reinforced? What needs to be rearticulated? Or what new information needs to come in? Just make it all come together. And so I'll go through my week trying to prepare for it. I have a number of different things I'll do. I'll brainstorm things on sticky notes and kind of stick them on a table. I'll have my notebook where I'm just free-flowing ideas and getting things there. Sometimes I'll have my word processor open. I'm just kind of pounding out ideas, or I think of Bible verses. I'm kind of importing Bible verses into this document or doing searches for specific words. As I'm going through meetings, if someone says something that really sparks my interest, I think, maybe God would have me hear what that person said, because that's what many people are thinking, and I might want to put that into this week. And so I kind of go through this process of studying and reading and reflecting on the week. And as the week goes down on, things start to come into formation. And then I start to pare many, many things away because I don't have time or room, or all the stuff I have isn't of value. I start dropping stuff away, refining it until we come to the weekend service. And things are going on during the week. And I was having a little difficult time. I had plenty of information. I had plenty of sticky notes, plenty of things in my word processor, all kinds of notes, scribbled places, and I got closer and closer. It wasn't clicking for me. In fact, it got to Friday night. Got to Friday night where I'm thinking, man, I have a lot of things I really could say here. If my job is to fill up 35, 40 minutes, I could do that. But as it relates to the topic of room to breathe, I don't think I have anything of value to offer anymore. I think we've kind of done it, been there, done that, and having doing it. And I started to realize, if I went into this thing just taking 35 minutes to talk about this stuff, then I'm just going to be like the media. I'm going to be like Newsweek or Time or Fox 19, just filling up space so that you have more stimuli, and then walking out of here and, you know, that's it. So I actually kind of debated for a while, maybe we just have a half-hour service. I thought about that. I thought, oh, just, okay, see you, folks. Here's some time for you. Really, I almost did that, and I realized, no, we'll do something a little different today. We're going to do something a little risky. I'm going to invite Denise to come out and Paula, a couple of the band. We're going to actually take time to breathe and give you room to breathe. I really don't think in this topic that you need any more information to impact your life. We've talked about how God does not want a life of efficiency. A life of efficiency is not a life of effectiveness. A life with a full calendar is not necessarily an effective life. An effective life means we have room to breathe, we have flex time, whether it's a day off a week or blocks of time, that we can reflect on what's happened, our heart has time to grow, or we can take advantage of opportunities to be a blessing to people, or opportunities to grow our business, which God might really want us to do, because we have unassigned blocks of time. And so we're going to have an unassigned block of time here. And Denise has been at all these vision tours with me, and she has been just bionic. You've been bionic. Yeah, she has. She's been bionic. She's been, at a certain point, she really sings her guts out, and it's a really cool thing. And I've heard the song that she's going to lead us through. How many times now? 16 times?
Not yet.
Not yet. And it's
pretty close.
Pretty close, and it's still not getting old. And I thought, you know, let's do this song. And she's going to do this song. And I want to lead us through a time just to calm ourselves, to reflect, think. And during this time, if I think of something I think might be of value, I'll do that. I have things that I could say, but there's things I maybe haven't even thought of. And if I think of something of value, I'll say it. I might prompt you. Some of us may have never had 25 minutes of just reflection time. And so I'm going to walk you through that. And for some of us, I might be talking a little too much for you. Others of you, I'm not talking enough. And if you haven't done this before, you need to, first of all, turn off your cell phone. Turn off your cell phone. Also, allow your mind to go where it goes. Don't take the fact that your mind goes to a work thing as, oh no, I'm not being spiritual. Maybe your mind is going to a work thing because God is wanting you to think about something about work, because your work cares to Him. If you find that you're not able to think about virtually anything other than the Bengals, that's what you think about for 25 minutes, you know, don't beat yourself up over that. Just allow yourself to be calm. You also might find that those of you who are in the midst of the media fast are going to find this easier to do because you've had 7 days of basically little chunks of silence. And for others of us, this is totally new for you, and so it might be a little more difficult for you. God, we are here and we're just asking you to speak. We're asking you to speak, and we're giving you time, giving ourselves time, and asking if you would reinforce something and build into us in a unique way right now. Sometimes when I'm in a position like this and I'm just trying to be alone and quiet with God, I'll pay very close attention to the posture of my body. Sometimes if I want to just be in a place where I want to empty myself of all the garbage in my life, I'll put my hands on my knees and I'll put my palms down, signifying, hey, I just want to empty myself. Sometimes I'm feeling a sense of, I need to receive from you, God. I'm empty in a bad way. Sometimes I need to empty myself of just too much crap in my life. And sometimes I'm empty, I just don't feel your presence. So sometimes I'll sit there with my palms up. Sometimes I'll sit there and I'll kind of put my hands up in the air in the universal surrender signal. Say, God, whatever you want. Sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just pay very close attention to my breathing patterns. And I think with every inhale, I want to breathe in more of God's Spirit. And with every exhale, I want to exhale some of the sin in my life. And I just pay attention to that. Inhaling some of God's purity, exhaling sin. Just sit in quietness and whatever helps you receive and connect with God right now. Great. And I might also say this. Some of us are wired to have feelings much easier than others. And so you might actually have a feeling that you think God is giving you. Some of us might receive promptings that we're thinking that is the exact heart of God. Others of us, your mind just might go in a specific direction, and maybe that's no less spiritual than anything else, but if it's going in a direction you think God wants you to think, then think that God is taking your mind in that direction. God, speak, please, in this stillness. Recently, I was someplace where I was served pigeon to eat. And I was thinking, like, you know, yeah, pigeon, you go out in the field and kill pigeon. That's what I was thinking. And then as the thing came and started eating, I realized, no, this is like in the city, rats with tails cut off pigeon. This is like gnarly, nasty pigeon. You know what I mean? I mean, pigeons are pretty disgusting creatures. And as I was eating that, I was reflecting on how there's another bird in the scriptures. It's called the dove. And oftentimes the dove is equated with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is this aspect of God who, when you come into relationship with God through Jesus, when you have relationship with Jesus, actually, God's Spirit is not this force that hovers around, but the Holy Spirit is actually implanted and imparted in those who are His. To the point where you are actually the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible calls it. You actually possess divinity. You aren't divine, but you possess divinity. And when you understand that the Holy Spirit is like a dove, a person with a personality, passages like this start to make sense. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Virtually all of us have seen a pigeon. Very few of us ever see a mourning dove. The reason is because doves are very, very sensitive. Pigeons, you walk right up to them, you can virtually kick at them, they don't leave. Sounds, nothing discourages them. But the Holy Spirit, according to this, is someone who can be grieved. Someone who loud, clamoring things causes him to flee. He flees. Just kind of takes off. When Jesus was being baptized, God's words of affirmation, it said, descended upon him like a dove and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. One of the reasons why many of us don't feel a connection with God, aside from maybe we haven't wrestled with who Jesus is, but one of the reasons we don't feel a connection is because our lives are just too noisy and the Holy Spirit flees. He's grieved. He doesn't dwell in places of cacophony of sounds. He doesn't dwell in places of where there is bitterness. Maybe the reason why you have a hard time focusing and sense God's Spirit is there's bitterness in your life that is keeping the Holy Spirit from impacting you. There is rage, anger, brawling, slander, gossip, speaking negatively of people who aren't in your presence, along with every form of malice, every form of deceit and cheatfulness. These are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit and cause Him to flee. Spirit, you want lives that are devoted to compassion and lives who are with You. Speak to those of us who've got too much clutter in our lives and bitterness. Help us to release. God, I'm reflecting on the cacophony of sounds this last week and remembering trying to be so diligently getting from one place to another and being so goal-focused that I almost missed the person who needed to stop and talk with me. And I ask for Your grace to pour on that person as she showed me cuts on her forearms. Let me be more sensitive to when to stop and create healing where there needs to be healing right in here. You might also want to take advantage of this time just to ask God. He is a good and gracious giver. He is the greatest giver you can ever think of. Bible also says you have not because you ask not. There are things that God wants to give you that for whatever reason, He's waiting for you to ask and waiting for you to exhibit a true relationship. Feel free to ask. Ask. Put your palms up. If you're sensing something, the way you encourage God to speak to you is you say yes. Yes to that thing you sense that He might be prompting you to do. You just say yes. Say yes, okay. Got that, yes. This is the word that came to Jeremiah. Go down to the potter's house, there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. And so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, declares God. God, we have all kinds of pieces of clay in here. They're in different forms. Just shape us. Shape us. Amen. Well, it's good for me. I hope it was good for you. We're going to close this service out with a song. I think one of the unfortunate things about modern pop spirituality is modern pop spirituality, in addition to not drawing any lines of distinction, which is a problem, also would have you believe that anytime you connect with God, it's got to be mellow. It's got to be like, serene. And sometimes it is, but we kind of went through this last night and we said, oh man, you know, I'm all for the mellow, but God is also so happy when we connect with Him. And some of us have connected with Him right now in a way that we've never connected with Him before, and it's the first of many connections. So we're going to redo a song that speaks of the joy that we felt. All right. Okay. Hey, have a great day, great week. We'll see you hopefully at Vision Tour if you haven't been there, or go Bengals. Bye now. Sure.